Is this the Owens residence? I'm Mr. Belvedere.
Hey everyone, this is Angela Bowen, the host of Tea Time with Mr. Belvedere. And today I am bringing you the last Heather episode of Season 2. It's Heather's Tutor, which aired on February 21st, 1986, in this episode. Heather begins dating her blind French tutor. On the IMDb, well, this is from actually the back of the DVD case. The other one really doesn't mention that he's blind. It just says she falls for her French tutor. So I wanted to go with this one because it's a little more accurate. It doesn't, you know... Doesn't blindside you. Oh, he's blind. Okay, gotcha. So yes, this is the last episode for Heather of Season 2 that I picked. Next week will be Wesley's first episode, which is going to be entitled Requiem, where Wesley plays the accordion. You've heard that in the Vows episode. And in early Season 2, he's learning how to play the accordion with his accordion teacher, who sadly passes away during a lesson at the Owens household. So not only is he dealing with death of someone that he was kind of close to, he has to deal with the fact that somebody died in his house in his presence. That is a double whammy. And, of course, the last Wesley episode of Season 2 is the best one because everybody knows this episode. This is called Wesley's Friend. This is the episode that deals with a young boy named Danny who has contracted the AIDS virus. He is a hemophiliac, the same as what Ryan White was also a hemophiliac, and he passed from AIDS when I believe he was 19. I read the Ryan White biography, about 12 years ago. I do have it. I bought it. Anyway, those are the two episodes I chose from there. So that is it for June. In July, changing things up, we start Season 3. Each character gets one episode chosen. And we are doing a season a month. So that means two characters per week. And we're going to do that. July Season 3, August Season 4, September Season 5, and October is the final season, Season 6. So, yeah, and then we're going to be, done with that. And then Wonder Years is going to be coming to an end. Punky Brewster will be ending this month. If you listen to my Punky Power, an unofficial Punky Brewster podcast, that'll be coming to an end this month. Looking back at my Wonder Years, a Wonder Years podcast is coming to an end, I think, just before Thanksgiving. Although in December, I will be, or maybe I'll do it just before the podcast ends. I'll do the Christmas on Division Street, the Fred Savage Christmas TV movie. And then in January, of course, starts on the same feed as the Wonder Years did, and Mr. Belvedere and Dancing on Bandstand and American Dreams podcast, which that one will keep going. I might go two times a month with that in the new year. We'll see. But Growing Pains, Show Me That Smile Again, Growing Pains podcast is going to be the next one that I do. And like Mr. Belvedere, I'm not going through every episode, but however, I'm not doing it by character. I've picked 10 episodes, I think 10 from Season 1, and then also 2 and 3. As the seasons get more, I do like 15 or 16 or whatever. If you guys want to choose an episode that I haven't covered, I will more than likely cover it. And then, of course, when I finally get to Season 7 in a year from now, or over a year from now, I'm going to be doing all of Season 7. I'm basically going to be doing one a week. Probably once I get to Season 2, I'll start doing maybe two episodes a week. We'll see. On the Punky Power podcast feed, I will be starting up a new podcast called Together We're Gonna Find Our Way, an unofficial Silver Spoons podcast. That will start in September. So a lot of things to look forward to. But enough said, guys, let's get into this episode. We open with the cold open, and Wesley is coming into the door by where the stove is located. And usually it seems when he comes in, he's done something, or he's been up to something. Yeah. I mean, at this point, this is the end of season two. We've seen Wesley with his antics. He's usually done something. Yeah, I'm playing this clip. Uh-huh. He comes in nonchalantly. He's kind of hunched over slightly. Why are his... Is he not wearing shoes? He's got muddy socks? So I'm going to play this clip between him and Mr. Belvedere. Like I've said in the past, I love their scenes. Their scenes, to me, are some of the best scenes. Because they play so well off each other.
Hi, Mr. Belvedere. I'm going upstairs now.
Wesley, I know I shall regret asking this, but where are your shoes?
I left them in the middle of the Huffnagel's driveway.
You mean the one that's being repaved?
Now you tell me. Stop following me. What's the matter, honey? Nothing. Don't look at my feet.
Where's your shoes, Jim? Apparently Wesley mistook the Huffnagel's new driveway for the courtyard at Grauman's Chinese.
I didn't know it was wet cement. Besides, I tried to apologize to Mr. Huffnagel, but he just yelled and called me a menace to society.
That's okay, pal. I'll go talk to him. Your old man's been handling Huffnagels for years.
Yeah, and tell him I want my shoes back.
Hey, Homer! Hey, Pata!
You better go soak your feet before that cement sets.
Okay.
So Wesley is walking past the kitchen island, past Belvedere, saying, hey, don't mind me, I'm just going into the living room now. And it looks like, at first I thought, is he wearing, like, beige, like, ladies' slip-ons? I don't know. And then, of course, Belvedere's like, what happened to your shoes? And Wesley's like, oh, I lost them in the, Huffnagel's driveway. And Belvedere's like, oh, you mean the driveway that's currently being repaved? And Wesley's like, oh, yeah, yep, that's the one. And Wesley walks through the door. Belvedere's following behind with a broom, and Wesley keeps looking back, like, stop following me. He's gotta clean up the cement flakes. You're trailing that all over the floor. So George and Marsha are like, hey, what's going on here? And Wesley's like, yeah, don't look at my feet. Immediately, because George and Marsha are on the couch, they peek over the arm of the couch, and we get a clear shot of Bryce's feet, and they are covered in mushy, what could be, fake cement or something, like, it's not real. It's like, oh my goodness. So, he's never been in cement before or anything like that, so... Yeah, George is like, don't worry about it, I'll take care of the Huffnagels, I've been dealing with them for years, probably even before Wes was even born. There's always this rival between them. I don't know if you call it really a rival, because we never meet the Huffnagels, but there's always issues with them, usually dealing with Wesley being like a menace character to them, and constantly like... breaking a window with a football. He's best friends with Howie Huffnagel, who you never meet any of them. And you hear Howie's name come up a lot. Or Grandma Huffnagel, who apparently lives with the Huffnagels. So, George goes out to speak to Mr. Huffnagel. I forgot his name already. And Marsh is like, hey, Wes, you might want to soak your feet. Get your feet clean before that cement hardens. And you see Wesley kind of walking away, and he's kind of gritting his teeth. Like, now it's starting to get painful. Like, it probably is. I don't know how long it takes for cement to start to dry and you know, set in and everything, like, your feet are going to be concrete blocks soon. So Heather comes down, she and Angela are both speaking French, and Heather's like, see, Mom, I don't need a tutor, like, well, your grades will probably speak differently. So Marcia says, fine, okay, you just gotta pass French on your, if you don't pass it, then you're gonna be taking it again, but you're gonna be taking it this summer, when every one of your friends is probably gonna be out having a good time, hanging by the pool, you're gonna be in a classroom, studying French.
Bonjour, mon ami, comment allez-vous?
Very good, Heather.
See, I don't need a tutor.
Fine, but if you don't pass French now, you're just gonna have to take it again this summer.
Summer school, mon dieu. Mom, I don't want some stranger coming into the house telling me how dumb I am, especially in another language. Anyway, Andrew's been tutoring me, haven't you, Ang?
Oui, oui.
Andrew, you never told me you spoke French.
I'm sorry.
Alors, ça fait longtemps que tu parles français?
Le garçon vient de manger mon parapluie.
What did you two just say?
I just asked Angela how long she'd been speaking French. And she said the waiter had just eaten her umbrella.
Pat, you're getting a tutor, and that's that.
Oui, ma mère.
Besides, your teacher said Kyle is a very nice young man, and he's one of the best French students in his high school.
Sophomore? Heather, maybe he's cute. Maybe he's got a car.
Maybe he's on the football team.
Maybe that's him now.
Wait a minute, Mr. Belvedere. Don't answer yet. I mean, I gotta go change Heather's leave my hair.
Yes?
Hi, I'm Kyle. I'm Heather's tutor.
Please come in.
I assume this is the Owens residence, but I've been wrong before.
Looks like you don't have to worry about your hair.
So Heather's just more worried about the fact of some stranger coming into her house and telling her she's dumb in another language from another country or something like that. And Angela can speak some French. She and Belvedere actually carry on a couple sentences in French. Marcia's like, well, what did you two say? And Belvedere's like, well, I asked her how long she's been speaking French, and she told me the waiter ate my umbrella. Okay, so she can speak some French. She just doesn't know what she's saying when she says it. So Marcia says the guy that they've got coming over to help you is actually, he's a sophomore. He's one of the best French tutors out there. The doorbell rings. It's Kyle, who we learn his name is Kyle. And Heather's like, oh, no, don't answer it yet. I gotta fix my hair and what I'm wearing. Belvedere opens the door, and we see Kyle has a cane for the blind. And he's like, is this the Owens residence? Because I've been wrong before, Lou. If you can't see, then... Well, at least he got to the house. I don't know. So we come out of the intro, and Kyle's still hanging out in the doorway. He's like, I can tell by your breathing that no one told you that I was blind. Like, well, no, they didn't mention that. But, of course, being that he doesn't have his sight, so his hearing is absolutely excellent, because don't your other senses take over if one of your senses is gone? Like, your hearing kind of gets sharper? I want to play this clip with Kyle and Velvet and everyone. This is just, it's interesting. He's got a giant binder full of, like, probably French stuff. Or it's a book. I'm not sure which.
Well, I can tell by your breathing nobody told you I was blind.
No, they didn't, but,
Is Heather here?
Yes, she is. I mean, I'm Heather.
Enchanté.
Gesundheit.
Don't worry, she's not one of ours. I'm Mr. Belvedere, the housekeeper.
Yeah, you didn't sound like one of the family.
Thank you.
Anyway, I guess you and Heather want to get started.
Sure.
Come on, Kyle, we can go in the dining room. The light's better in there. But I guess you'd have to take my word for that.
This is going to be a long night. Let me take it. Okay, Heather, now let's try it again. You're in Paris, and it's springtime, and you're seated at a small cafe, and the waiter comes over to you and says, Bonsoir, madame, prendrez-vous un café? And what would you say?
Does anyone here speak English?
Heather, come on.
Well, I don't know what that means.
En français. Say it in French.
Oh, je ne comprends pas.
Bon, means would you like some coffee?
Oh, okay. Oui, un café, s'il vous plaît.
Très bien.
Thanks. Listen, Kyle, I gotta go upstairs for a minute.
Pourquoi?
Oh, just have to go to the ladies' room. Probably all that coffee.
En français.
Huh?
You can't leave until you say it in French.
Oh, excusez-moi, mais je,
Just go.
Merci.
So in the next scene, we see Heather and Kyle working at the dining room table on the French, and Heather knows a tad bit of French, but not a whole lot, as he's kind of setting, Kyle's setting the scene, saying, all right, you're in France, you're at, it's springtime, you're at a nice outside cafe, and a waiter comes up to you and says this, and then he's, how do you respond? And, of course, she responds, does anyone here speak English? My question is this. If you do go to France, do you have to really, really know the language to be able to, go there? I mean, I'm sure you should know some French, right? I mean, I can imagine it would probably be very helpful if you did. Also, don't they have, like, translators now, like, translator apps on your phone that you could type stuff in, and it will tell you how to say it in a particular language. So, Heather's gonna go to the bathroom, and Kyle's like, oh, well, you can't go unless you tell that to me in French, and she's trying to search for the words, and he finally gives up. He's like, just go. So now we move to the kitchen with Marcia and Belvedere. Marcia is ripping apart pieces of lettuce for the salad. There's cucumbers on the cutting board along with a tomato. Wouldn't Belvedere be kind of like a little antsy, like, hey, you're kind of in my working space? Oh, is that garlic in the mixing bowl there that's sitting on one of the stove burners? So he does, in fact, come up to her and ask her, what are you doing? And she's like, oh, making a salad. He's like, well, I was going to do that. You know, that's part of my job, making dinner. And she's like, I know, but I've been studying for 4 hours and I needed to do something mindless. And he just kind of side-eyes her like, mindless, huh? Really? So, of course, Belvedere's remark to Marcia is, oh, well, fine, I'll be over here in the corner coloring then. Oh, jeez. So now George comes in complaining about the stupid Huffnagels, and we see that his shoes are now missing. I want to play this clip.
Stupid Huffnagels?
See, you got Wesley's shoes back.
Did you trade them for your own?
How was I supposed to know they repaved the front steps?
Uh-oh.
I mean, Homer comes out and starts screaming. I thought your kid was a bozo. Now I know where he gets it from. I mean, do you believe he said that? Yeah, well, just wait and see what happens the next time that stupid dog of his comes sniffing around our lawn. I'll tell you, I'm going to do something.
Don't get yourself all worked up. Homer just lost his temper, and I'm sure he feels real bad about the whole thing.
Yeah.
Is there a problem with the Huffnagels?
Kevin, what happened?
I was just walking by, and Homer says, hey, there's another one, and they turn the hose on me.
This is serious. They're starting to attack civilians.
Honey, get out of those clothes before you catch pneumonia.
That's nothing. Wait till you see what the Huffnagels catch.
These Huffnagels sound like pure assholes. Because George goes up there, he comes in, he's barefoot now. He's lost his shoes, and he's got Wesley's, which are in solid concrete. I just chuck them. Don't even. Just get him a new pair. And he goes, he's like, well, I didn't know that they were going to redo their front steps. And then Homer comes out, and he's all like, whoa, gee, I thought his kid was a bozo, but I see where he gets it from. And then Kevin comes in, and he's all drenched from head to toe. And they're like, like, what happened to you? And he's like, I don't know. I was just walking down the sidewalk, and then the Huffnagels are like, there goes another one. Here comes another one. And they spray the hose on him. Oh, my God. I'd be calling the police. I don't think they could do anything, though. That's ridiculous. They gotta get back at those Huffnagels. I'm all for that. So now we move to the next scene, which is out in the dining room. Kyle! Kyle's sitting at the dining room waiting for Heather to get back from the bathroom. How many minutes has it been? I doubt she's in the bathroom. I bet she's in her room on the phone with Angela. How much you want to bet? I bet she is. Now, Wesley comes downstairs, and he hasn't even met Kyle. He's like, probably like, who are you? Why are you here? Oh, you can't see? Yeah, I can see the blind jokes a mile away coming out of Wesley's mouth. I mean, not just, you know, he's not being mean so much as he's just curious. He doesn't understand. He's never met somebody who's lost their sight before.
Who are you?
Oh, I'm Kyle. I'm Heather's tutor.
Oh, I feel sorry for you.
Because I'm blind?
No, because you're stuck with my sister.
You must be Wesley.
So you're really blind, huh?
Yep. What are you doing?
Nothing. Wesley, leave him alone.
Oh, it's okay. He's not bothering me.
Yes, I am. Well, we gotta study, so thank God, petite pest. Yo, Pepe Le Pew to you, too.
So, of course, Wesley asks Kyle, who are you? Because he didn't meet him when Kyle first arrived. And he's like, I'm Kyle. I'm Heather's tutor. And Wesley's like, oh, I feel sorry for you. And of course, Kyle probably gets this a lot. He's like, oh, because I'm blind? And Wesley's like, no, because you have to hang out with my sister. And Wesley, of course, starts putting his fingers, like, in his mouth on the edges of his mouth and kind of twisting up and down and side to side. And Kyle, of course, you know, he can't see what's going on. He's like, what are you doing? Wesley just gives up and he's like, oh, nothing. Heather finally comes back. She actually comes from the kitchen, so she wasn't in the bathroom. She wasn't on the phone talking to her friend. I kind of thought she was hiding in her room. No, she actually comes in with a couple of glasses of pop. Yes, that's right. I called it pop and not soda. So she asks Wes what he's doing. He's like, oh, nothing. And she's like, well, leave us alone. You're bugging him. And Kyle's like, oh, he's not bugging me. And Wes is like, well, yeah, I kind of was. So Heather says something in French, like basically, be gone, pest Wesley. And Wesley's like, well, Pepe Le Pew to you, too. Like, that's the only French I'm sure Wesley knows is from Pepe Le Pew. So now we move into the kitchen where George is ordering some really nasty types of Chinese food. Because Wesley's like, oh, that has liver in it. I don't want that. And George is just kind of like, this is not for us. So he says, oh, my name is Homer Huffnagel. And so he's ordering food to be sent over to be delivered to the Huffnagels. And then he tells Wes after he gets off the phone, well, just something I did in college. And, of course, Wesley's like, oh, yeah, I mean, when I do it, I actually order furniture. So he pretty much goes a step above George. And George just kind of growls, just like, rrr. And Belvedere kind of comes over and he's like, all right, Wesley, that's enough. Your father stooped to your level. Let's not encourage him any farther. So I want to play this clip.
Yeah, that'll be 15 number 7 dinners, 2 dozen egg roll, some ribs, and 10 orders of ramake.
Dad, I hate that stuff. It's got liver in it.
Yeah, I want it delivered right away. Oh, the name? Homer Huffnagel. 202 Spring Valley Lane. Looking forward to it.
Getting even with the Huffnagels, huh, Dad?
Just a little prank I used to pull in college, Wes. Pretty funny, huh?
Not bad. I usually order furniture.
All right, Wesley, you
had enough fun watching your father sink to your level. Now, take out the garbage.
Okay, okay. Hey, Dad, I could dump this junk on the Huffnagel's lawn if you want.
Nah, that's okay, Wes.
But it was a lovely thought.
So I just looked up the actor who plays Kyle. His name is Rad Daly. And he looks like he's been in some stuff. He's actually got an upcoming project coming up. So he's still working. That's good. He's trying to see what stuff that he's been in. That A-Team movie. Ugh. 3 Days Blind. Sounds like a porno type thing. Shanghai Noon. Crimson Tide. Miracle of the Heart of Boys Town movie. Okay. Gung-ho. He was only one episode of Mr. Belvedere's Kyle. He was in one episode of Simon and Simon. Kids Incorporated. Oh, he played a character named Wesley in Kids Incorporated. How funny is that? He's in an episode of The Love Boat. Silence of the Heart. Walking Tall. He was in 7 episodes of some show called Walking Tall. Wasn't that a movie that was remade in like 2005 or 6 or 7 with The Rock Johnson? He was in the TV series The Bad News Bears. He was in 15 episodes of that. He played in the Walt Disney's Wonderful World of Color. He played in 3 episodes as 2 different people. 2 different characters. Let's see. 10. Out of the Blue and North Dallas. I'm sorry. You guys sure didn't want to hear that. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go through all of that. But anyway. You're welcome to fast forward through that. Okay. So Kyle tells him. Oh, he tells Heather. What did you. So what did I say there? And she's like, something about my car doesn't have fins. And he says, no, actually, our time is up. And Heather's like, oh, when can we do this again? And he's like, I don't know, Saturday night? And she's like, well, I usually have plans Saturday night. I usually go out. And that's the thing. He's trying to ask her out. Like, interesting. Is she going to accept or turn him down? We'll see. I want to play this clip, though.
Okay, don't tell me. You said, I'm sorry, but my car doesn't have fins.
Close. No, I said our time's up.
Okay. I learned a lot today.
Hey, that's great.
So, when do we get together again?
Oh, I don't know. How about Saturday night?
Well, I usually go out on Saturday night.
Well, yeah, that's kind of what I meant.
Are you asking me on a date?
Well, I don't see anyone else in the room. Is that a yes?
Yeah, I guess so, sure.
Great, then we'll see you Saturday.
Yeah, see ya. What'd I just do?
Don't move. I want to practice my knife trick. Huh?
Go ahead.
What's the matter, Heather?
I told Kyle I'd go out with him.
So?
So what'd I say yes for? Where are we going to go? What are we going to talk about? This date is going to be a disaster.
Heather, your dates are always disasters.
Well, that's true.
The point is, do you like Kyle?
Well, yeah.
And he seems to like you.
Yeah, I guess.
Then there should be no problem. He's like any other boy.
Yeah, right. Who knows? Maybe it won't be such a disaster.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
So Kyle, of course, asks Heather on a date. She seems kind of reluctant to accept. Or almost it's just like, oh, this guy is blind. He wants to ask me out. I don't want to hurt his feelings and say no. So she accepts. Because afterwards, when she shuts the door after he leaves, she's all like, what did I do? It's like caught up in the moment. Like everything was happening so fast. He wanted an answer and everything like that. Do you know what I'm noticing? His voice sounds similar to Kevin's, don't you think? So, Belvedere comes in to set the dining room table for dinner. And Heather is up against the door, and Belvedere has a knife, you know, a butter knife in his hand. He's like, hey, I'm going to practice my knife throwing skills. And she's like, So he asks her, like, do you like Kyle? Because she's really nervous. Like, I accepted this date. I don't know if I'm sure that, you know, she's worried, like, it's going to be a disaster. What are they going to talk about and this and that? And Belvedere basically says, you know, treat it like any other date. Treat him like he's a normal person. So he can't see. So what? It's not that big of a deal. So that kind of puts her mind at ease, which is good. So in the next scene, it's nighttime. I don't know if this is Saturday night. And George is just he's just waiting up for Heather. Because Marcia comes down in her bathrobe, and she's like, George, come on, come to bed, honey. And he's like, no. I want to wait for Heather. I want to make sure she gets home all right. So Marcia says, George, it'll be fine. He promised that he would have her home by 11. And he finally just kind of folds the paper, puts it down, and he's like, all right, I'll come up. And she asks, is everything settled, like, done with the Hufnagels? Is this war over with? So, Mrs. Hufnagel's name is Hortense. So, Mr. Hufnagel, Hortense. The reason that Marcia asked if everything is okay, because she waved to Hortense Hufnagel, and Hortense did something, but she didn't think it was a wave. More like she flipped you off. She gave you the middle finger. So, George tells her, don't worry, I settled everything, it's taken care of. And the doorbell rings. So, George opens the door, and there's this guy in, like, a mariachi suit. And he's like, is this the Owens residence? I'm gonna play this, because this looks like it's gonna be a hilarious time.
Oh, by the way, is everything all settled with the Hufnagels? To Hortense today, and she did something back, but I don't think it was a wave.
Don't worry, honey. I settled everything.
Who's that?
Hey, maybe Heather forgot her key.
Buenas noches. This is the Owens residence?
Yeah, but.
Here's your dinner, amigo. Andale. What's wrong?
Nothing.
Well, why'd we stop?
I don't know. I guess I've never held my breath that long.
You want to go for the record?
I think I better go get those drinks.
Are you mad at me?
No.
Is it because I'm a better bowler?
No.
Is it because I'm black?
Kyle, you're not black.
I'm not? Is that the problem?
Oh, no, of course not.
Are you sure?
Sure, I'm sure. Wesley, what are you young people up to? Wesley!
Are you kissing my sister?
Yeah, I was.
Well, I hope you've had your shots.
So, of course, the Huffnagels get the Owenses back by having a mariachi band come with Mexican food on these serving tables, and they start singing La Cucaracha or something like that, and it's just like, But then Heather comes home and Kyle's there. He asks, are you going to invite me in? And I guess he beat her at bowling, which is, wow, that's awesome. And he asks what she looks like, and she says, you know, brown hair, hazel eyes, and he's like, well, that doesn't help much. So he asks if he can feel, you know, her face and everything with his hands. And of course, you know, as soon as he does that, he's gonna kiss her. And they do kiss. And she breaks away. She's uncomfortable. Because she does say, hey, I'm gonna go get those drinks that, you know, because she offers him a drink. And he, of course, is noticing she's getting cold feet after the kiss. And he's like, oh, is it because I'm a better bowler than you? And then he also says, is it because I'm black? And she's like, Kyle, you're not black. And he's like, I'm not? It's like, okay, stop. But then he says, is it because I'm blind? And she says, no, it's not. But you can tell it is. She doesn't want to say it. She doesn't want to hurt his feelings and everything, so she goes and kisses him again to prove that it's not because he's blind. You can see just in her tone of voice that Heather is not as into Kyle as he is into her. And I think it does have to do with the fact that, yes, he's blind. If he was not blind, would she be into him? Maybe more. It sounds almost like she did that. She accepted the date out of pity because she felt sorry for him. And now she's kissing him to make him think that she's okay with him being blind and everything. This relationship is not going to go very far if she's not willing to accept his blindness. Of course, they're kissing. Wesley comes down. He says, hey, are you kissing my sister? And Kyle's like, yeah, you got a problem with that? And Wesley's like, oh, do you have your shots? Then he starts making these sounds like, oh, Wesley, just go to bed. So in the next scene, Marcia comes in, and boy, is she pissed off. She's like, this damn feud with the Huffnagels has got to come to an end. This is ridiculous.
George, this stupid feud with the Huffnagels has gotten completely out of hand.
Talking about?
I mean, the egg rolls and the mariachi band and the toilet paper and the trees was a lot of fun, but now we're losing some very nice neighbors.
We are?
Yeah, the Huffnagels are moving. There's a sign out front that says open house and there must be 30 people standing on their lawn. Will you please take that sign down right away? What kind of example are you setting for your children?
It was his idea. Come on, guys. Let's go do what your mom says.
Hello? No, this is not Monique's house of pain.
I wish we thought of that.
So Marcia, of course, says this has gotten out of hand, you know, with the egg rolls, the mariachi band, the toilet papering, the trees, blah, 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 blah. Now that the Huffnagels are now moving. And Kevin, George, and Wes laugh their asses off. It is hilarious. And so Marcia's like, you guys, take that sign down. There's like 30 people out there. And George totally rats out Wes. He's like, well, it was his idea. And she's like, take that sign down now. And George looks at Kev and Wes and like, all right, boys, let's go do what your mother says. Then the phone rings. Marcia picks it up. And she says, no, this is not Monique's House of Pain. What type of place would that be? Like, a masseuse? And George and the boys are kind of hanging out in the doorway as they get ready to head out. And Kevin's like, we should have thought of that. Oh my gosh. So now we move to Heather's room. She is on the phone with Kyle, and it looks like they're setting up another date. Because she's like, alright, I can't wait. That's awesome, Kyle. Bye. So now she's going to have a conversation with Heather, because as soon as she got off the phone, she's like, this is a disaster. Angela's like, I thought you liked him. She's like, I do, but yeah, she can't handle his being blind. She really can't.
Oh, this is a disaster. What's wrong? I thought you liked him. I do. I like him a lot. It's just every time he takes me out, he seems to want to go a little further. I mean, like downtown. No, Angela. Oh, so what have you guys done? Nothing. Well, what does he want to do? I don't know. Stuff. You know, when you think about it, the whole thing's really very romantic. Just like an officer and a gentleman. Huh? I mean, except you don't work in a factory. You're failing French. And Kyle's not in the Navy. He can't see. Is, I like Kyle, but I'm afraid if I don't do something, I might lose him. I mean, he might think I'm saying no because he's blind and get real upset. Heard guys who aren't blind get pretty upset too. So what am I gonna do? Well, Heather, I think you should do whatever your conscience tells you to. Then call me and tell me all about it.
So she said. That to Angela, that it's not because he's blind, it's because every time we go out, so they've been out more than once, he wants to go further and further. So is he pressuring her to have sex? Because that's the implication that I'm getting from that. As far as there's kissing, then there's what, feeling up the shirt, then there's probably doing fingering or a hand job, then there's sex. So that's going to escalate. She is not even 15 yet, right? Or is she? I can't remember. But he's pressure. Why does he feel? Is he using his disability as a way to get into her pants or something? I mean, I don't want to think that Kyle's now coming off as a slime ball. I mean, my gosh. It's like, you feel simply, yes, he's blind, he can't see and everything. But now he sounds like he's coming off like a real jerk who's using his disability to get ahead with girls. Maybe that's why he's a French teacher, tutor, whatever. Because now he's putting her in a heck of an awkward position. So Heather's setting the table as in the next scene for dinner as Marcia comes down. Oh, actually, she's not setting the table for dinner. I'm sorry. She's got a tutor session with Kyle. And Marcia says she, George, and the boys are going to a hockey game. Why didn't she invite Heather? Heather would probably want to go. And Heather's like, oh, you're all going? What about Mr. Belvedere? And Marcia's like, well, he's going to an art exhibit. So Heather is now stressing out because she doesn't want to be completely alone with Kyle. Oh my gosh. So I want to play this clip between Heather and Marcia.
We'll try not to bother anybody.
Oh, that's okay. We're all going to the hockey game.
You are? Was Mr. Belvedere going too?
No, I think he's going to an art exhibit.
He is?
Something the matter, honey?
Oh, no. It'll be nice having the house all to ourselves.
Pep, very proud of you.
Why?
Well, for one thing, you're doing a lot better in French.
Oh, merci.
And I'm very proud of the way you've been handling yourself with Kyle. I mean, a lot of girls your age wouldn't be able to see past his handicap, but you didn't let that stop you.
Oh, no, not me.
So, Marcia says how proud she is of Heather. You know, your grade in French is really improving. I'm very proud of you of that. And also the fact that, you know, how you're handling Kyle. Most teenage girls would not be able to look past his handicap. And, of course, Heather just brushes it off like, oh, yeah, you know me. Well, in the next scene, we have the Owens father and sons dressed all in black. Well, just George and Wes have, like, black face paint. And they're wearing, like, black caps over, you know, wool caps over their heads and all that stuff. And they have, like, a spyglass George has to be able to look at the Hufnagels and just kind of see what's up. I thought at first they were in a cornfield, but no, that's actually toilet paper that's kind of hanging down in the trees. So I guess they went a step further and delivered, had fertilizer delivered to the Hufnagels' yard. So they're kind of waiting for the Hufnagels to react to that, like, what's their next move. And Marcia comes out and shuts the door kind of loudly, and they're like, because the lights are all off at the Hufnagels' home. So Wes is like, well, maybe they're not home. And George is like, no, son, that's like the oldest trick in the book. That's what they want you to think. So Marcia comes out, slams the door, and she's like, hey, aren't we going to the hockey game? You guys aren't even dressed yet. So Marcia convinces George and the boys to come inside. As soon as they close the door, it's like paint or something gets, like, thrown at the closed door. Like, yeah, they were seconds away from making their move. So, Belvedere comes down. He's like, oh, did the family leave for the hockey game? Heather said yes. And he's like, do you and Kyle have plans? And she says, no, we're just going to pretty much study and stuff like that. And then as Belvedere gets ready to, you know, walk into the kitchen, Heather's like, you're right, Mr. Belvedere. Kyle is like every other boy. As in, all he wants is to paw and grab and make out. Yeah. Just because he's blind doesn't mean that he doesn't have hormones racing through his veins. He's not completely innocent. So, Belvedere just kind of hangs back for a minute as he tells Heather goodnight as he turns to leave. So, I have not seen this episode in so many years, so I can't even remember how this ends, but I can only imagine that Belvedere ends up staying behind and has to rescue Heather. That's what I'm thinking. So, Kyle's there, he gives her flowers, which he says, I hope they're roses. They are, they're red roses. And he kind of stands there for a minute, and he's like, wow, the house is pretty quiet. Is there no one else here? And Heather's like, no, we have the house to ourselves. So he stops as she's kind of, he kind of grabs, you know, onto her shirt sleeve so she can guide him over the table. He stops and she turns around and kisses him as Belvedere comes through and says, oh, I forgot my keys. So turns out, I guess Belvedere is hanging around because in the next scene, he's sitting in the middle between Heather and Kyle. So I think he took to heart when she said, you're right, Kyle is just like every other boy. Like, yeah, Belvedere is not going to that art exhibit. He is going to hang around.
Mr. Belvedere, shouldn't you be leaving for your exhibit?
Oh, no. I hate being the first one at an affair. Don't you? Anyway, did I tell you this is one of my favorite movies?
Yeah, about 45 minutes ago.
I guess time flies when one's preventing fun.
Mr. Belvedere.
All right, I can take a hint. I suppose you children want to get along with your French.
Thanks.
Heather, I'm leaving now. Unless you need me for anything.
No, it's okay, Mr. Belvedere.
Very well. As we say in the south of France, you'll be good now.
Well, I guess we better get started.
Sounds good to me.
Okay, lesson 15 at the bakery. Pardon, monsieur, ces croissants sont-ils frais?
You know, you smell real pretty tonight.
Merci. Combien coûte les éclairs au chocolat?
Heather, I'm not interested in chocolate éclairs.
Pourquoi? Kyle.
What's the matter?
Je ne suis pas prête pour l'amour. Excusez-moi.
Heather!
No!
You know, your French is getting much better. Come back, please. Heather, where'd you go? Come on, where's that pretty little smile? I don't understand. I thought you liked me. So what's wrong?
Maybe the young lady just isn't ready yet.
Oh, God, he's back.
Great, so.
Mr. Belvedere, what are you doing back?
I came back because I thought I might be needed. But apparently I'm not.
Thanks anyway, Mr. Belvedere.
Well, good night again.
I guess I better get going, too.
Yeah, I guess so.
Actually, I suppose I should thank you.
For what?
Oh, for turning me down and making me frustrated, just like you would any guy.
Oh, it was nothing.
Oh, see you Monday?
Yeah, sure. Good night.
En français.
Bonsoir, Kyle.
Bonsoir, Heather.
So Belvedere's just sitting in between him and everything like that, and Heather's like, Mr. Belvedere, shouldn't you be getting out? I mean, going to your art exhibit? And he's like, oh, yes, I just thought, you know, you might need me or something like that. So I think either he was also trying to prevent Hanky Panky, or he's trying to be a barrier between Heather and Kyle. It could have been both. So Belvedere leaves. Heather gets the French book and she starts conjugating some of the French. And Kyle turns the light off and then he, like, scoots over to her and then he puts his hand on her shoulder and she immediately is, like, shutting it down. Like, what are you doing? So she ends up heading up the stairs. Like, I don't want to do this. And that's when Kyle gets up with his walking stick and he makes it about to the stairs and he's calling to Heather. And that's when Belvedere comes out. And yeah, he's like, no, Heather doesn't want to see you right now. I think you should leave, basically. Heather comes out and says, don't worry, Mr. Belvedere, I got it from here. And she tells Kyle, it's like, this isn't, basically, it's just, she would rather just stay friends. She does not want to have a relationship with him and everything. And they just agree to, you know, see each other at school on Monday. Basically, yeah, you know, I get it, yeah. He's just like every other boy, you know, already with his hand on his on her shoulder and everything like that. And it's just, she was uncomfortable. You know, she was afraid that he kept wanting to go farther and farther. And, you know, she's not ready for that. And even Belvedere said, you know, just her not being ready and everything. Like, Kyle just kept persisting and persisting. So, I'm happy it's just, Kyle seemed like a nice guy at first. And he might be. But, remember, she's a freshman. She's 14 years old and he is like a sophomore. He's older. He's probably, he may be experienced, probably a little more than she is. And he was pushing her into boundaries that she didn't want to cross. So Belvedere in the next scene is on the phone with Homer Hufnagel and they're coming to a peace treaty. And he gets off the phone and tells George that Homer has decided on a truce. If George will agree to it, the hostility will end. There will be no more war. And everyone's kind of looking at George like, okay, what are you going to do? And George tells Belvedere, you tell Homer that it's agreed. It's fine. It's over. And Belvedere tells Homer that, hangs up the phone. Of course, Wes is like, that's going to stop. So it's like, it's not just because Belvedere tried to reach an agreement with Homer. I mean, this guy fights dirty. We see that. So George decides to, you know, bury the hatchet and he goes over to like apologize or whatever. He opens the door and it's solid brick in the doorway. He can't even get out the door. So that is pretty much the end of the episode. And now let's hear what Belvedere has to say about this episode.
They say that French is the language of love and diplomacy, and this has been a week of both. Heather and Kyle are dating again, but they have an understanding. Kyle decides where they go, and Heather decides how far. Meanwhile, I finally add up the details of the Owens Huffnagel peace accord. They have agreed to keep their Doberman on a leash when near our property, and we have agreed to do the same with Wesley. A la guerre? Come à la guerre.
So I guess Heather and Kyle are dating again. He decides, you know, where to go, and she decides how far they will go. So she pretty much is setting the boundary, she's setting the rules. And the whole thing with the Huffnagels seems to be doing all right. They've agreed to keep their Doberman on a leash when in the yard, which is good, because that is a line that you can't cross. If that dog bites somebody, that dog will be destroyed. Animal control will come in, take that dog, and euthanize it. Or most likely put it in quarantine. And of course, they agreed to keep Wesley at bay. The Owens did. Like, you keep your dog on a leash, we'll keep our son out of your yard. So that is the end of the episode. I hope you all enjoyed it. Let's see. As far as for the teacup rating, I'm going to give it a 3 out of 5. The three things I liked about it, I like that Heather was able to pull her grade up. I like the fact that she was to determine how far that she and Kyle will go. I also, I thought it was funny with the bare feet and everything walking through the Huffnagel yard. That was kind of funny. I think the things I didn't care for was the fact that, I don't know, they make Angela out to be a bimbo. Like, oh, she can speak French, she just doesn't say the right things. I didn't like this Huffnagel war thing. I mean, they needed something for the other characters to be doing. You know, that was basically plot B. And, it went way too long. Oh my goodness. But let's talk about the episodes for next week, or episode for next week, because now we are going to be going into Wesley territory. So next week will be season 2, episode 4, entitled Requiem, which aired on October 18th, 1985. Wesley blames himself when his accordion teacher dies during a lesson. He wished something bad would happen to him, and by coincidence, it did. That's not good. Alright, so that is next week's episode. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I usually do a lot of clips. And I will be back next week with Requiem. Have a great Monday. I hope this makes your Monday brighter.